Good morning, everyone. Last time when we started our study for the adults class, we were looking at the subject called the Christ in the Old Testament. We are going to continue that for the next few more minutes. The reason for our study, as we looked at, is number one, is in Luke chapter 24 in verse 27. That is a very known passage for all of us. The Lord Jesus was walking to Emmaus and talking to those two disciples. And this is what we read there. Beginning at Moses and all the prophets, which is the Old Testament, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning him. So there, the Lord Jesus himself saying that the Old Testament scriptures, there are things that are talking about him, both in the writings of Moses as well as in the prophets. And then in John chapter 5, verse 39, we read, "You search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and these are they which testify of me." So the Lord said, "Search the scriptures, and you will see that these are they which testify of me." In both cases, the Lord Jesus is speaking so about himself and things that are talked about him in the Old Testament. So we started looking at some of those things. In those Old Testament passages, there are many ways of looking at it, but primarily we started looking at in two methods. One is the promises about Christ that is given, and also there are many, many pictures of Christ as we read through the Old Testament passages. We came up to Abraham, and we looked at Abraham, how he is a picture of the Lord Jesus in some ways. And we also looked at Melchizedek, who is the king and priest of Salem. And then we saw how he is very, very much equal to the priesthood of our Savior, as we read it in the book of Hebrews. So that is where we stopped. We just started looking at the angel. We saw there are many angels who appear to people of God, both in the New Testament as well as in the Old Testament. Not all angels are the Lord Jesus Christ. We have to be careful with that. There are some cases where the angel appeared and people tried to worship him. And the angel said, "Don't worship me. I am only a servant like you." So that in those cases, we know it is not the Lord Jesus himself, but it is the angel, which God has millions of them. We started looking at the one appearance of the angel of the Lord in Genesis 16, 7 and 10. These are very well-known passages, so we'll not be reading a lot of them. In verse 9 and 10, the angel of the Lord appears. And later on in chapter 21 and verse 17, the angel of the Lord appears again to Isabel. So we read that this angel who appeared to her was the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Because here is a woman we saw the last week. She was totally lost in the wilderness with no help, almost dying and lost without hope. And the Lord Jesus, as an angel, appears to her. So we saw that last week. Now, as we continue to look at it, Old Testament speaks of the angel of God many places. This is not an exhaustive list of appearances, but these are some of them. For an example, this we are going to look today. In Genesis 22, verse 11 and 15, angel of the Lord called him. This is Abraham. And in verse Exodus 3, 2, angel of the Lord appeared to him, to Moses, in a flame of fire. And in verse chapter 14, verse 19, and the angel of God who went before the camp of Israel. These are things that are very well known to us, how the angel of the Lord called Abraham. This morning we were brought to the attention of Abraham and how the Lord and his sacrifice was done. And we know that story. There is a little more. We will look at it, Isaac himself, in just a moment. The angel of God who went before the camp of Israel, guiding them, giving them light, step by step, leading through the wilderness, which in essence, the Spirit of God today also does that in the life of you and me. In chapter 32 of verse 34, behold, my angel shall go before you. And in Numbers 22, then God's anger was aroused because, now we are talking about Balaam. Balaam went and the angel of the Lord took his stand in the way, stopping him from going. So these are some of the appearances we believe that is very likely it is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. The Old Testament speaks many more as we read through the scripture. Judges chapter 2, verse 4, when the angel of the Lord spoke these words to all the children of Israel, the people lifted up their voice and wept. These are instances that the angel of the Lord appeared and And they wept as the Lord spoke the word of God. And in chapter 6:12, the angel of the Lord appeared to him. Now we are talking about Gideon. Remember Gideon, who he was hiding behind the bushes from the presence of the Lord. But the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said, "Oh, man of valor," that itself is a thought to be considered. So angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon when he was trying to hide. In 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 7, we read, and the angel of the Lord came back second time and touched him. This is, of course, we are talking about Elijah. He came and talked to Elijah one time. In this passage, we read that he came a second time and touched him. In 2 Kings chapter 1, verse 3, but the angel of the Lord said to Elijah, the Tishbite, arise and go. So these are some of the instances that we can see the angel of the Lord is very likely is the Lord Jesus Christ himself in person coming and talking and to the people of God at different times. When you come down to the towards the end of the book, Zechariah chapter 1, verse 11, they answered the angel of the Lord who stood among the myrtle trees. So there we read the prophet seeing the angel standing among the myrtle trees. So only in all these instances, we can surely see it is the Lord Jesus Christ himself in person attending and appearing to the people of God at various times and then talking to them. In Zechariah 12:8, we see another angel of the Lord that we believe it is God himself coming and talking to the people of God. So we believe that the angel of the Lord in the Old Testament many times, not in all cases, we have to be careful, that is really the Son of God who sometimes appeared as an angel to help his people. In the case of Hagar, we saw that. Earlier I said Isabel. It is not Isabel. I'm sorry. It is Hagar. The Lord came to rescue her from desperate situation. And therefore, we read the Lord Jesus Christ himself said, before Abraham was, I am, in John chapter 8, verse 58. Now, I'm going to go back a little bit here, going to Isaac for just a few moments. Abraham had many other sons and grandsons and had a big generation of people after him. But Abraham and Sarah had only one son, Isaac, and the Lord's promises were to him. In Genesis 21, verse 12, Romans 9, 7, in Isaac your seed shall be called. Although Abraham had many sons, but here we read, the promise was given to only Isaac, who is the one and only son of Abraham and Sarah. We read that the same promise to Abraham, the Lord passed on to that promise to Isaac when we come to chapter 26 and verse 4. And later in chapter 28, verse 14, the same promise was repeated again to Jacob. God would bless all nations in their descendants. So all those promises of the future blessing that is coming was given to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And we read that God promised that. And that promise, as you and I know, now sitting at the in 21st century, looking back to the scriptures, and we know that promises were concerning our Lord Jesus Christ, who will come and establish a full kingdom for himself. Although the forefathers probably did not understand at the time. Now, looking at Isaac, here is a comparison of Isaac and the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, we won't take time to read all these passages. Most of you are aware of this. There are at least 13 different characteristics we can compare between Isaac and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Isaac was on your left side column, you can see Isaac was the only son to Abraham. And of course, Lord Jesus was the only son of God. That was repeated in these passages in John chapter 1, 14 and 18, as well as John chapter 3, 16, which we know very well, that his only begotten son. So that comparison is seen in both cases. Now, the next one we see, Isaac was loved by the father. Isaac was loved by the father. We know that very well as we read the story. But when we come to John chapter 3 and chapter 5, chapter 10 and 15, we read that, let me read one verse here. The father loves the son and has given all things into his hand. That is what we read in John chapter 3:35. And we also read other similar passages in that he was loved by the father, so was Isaac loved by his father. Now we read Isaac and the Lord, his son, as we were reminded this morning, they went together to the Mount Moriah for the sacrifice. They went together. In John chapter 18 and 1:18, 8:16, 29, and 16:32, in all these passages, we read that the father was with the son all the time. He was never alone. Jesus himself said, and he who sent me is with me. The father has not left me alone. John chapter 4, verse 29. So the father who sent his son into this world, the father was with him all the time. He says, my father has not left me. So just as Isaac and Abraham went together to the mount for sacrifice, as the son of God was traveling towards Jerusalem, the father was with him all the time. And this is another, next one is a very familiar passage to us, that both of them carried wood on their shoulders. John chapter 19, verse 17, we read, and he, bearing his cross, went out to a place called the place of a skull. This is about the Lord Jesus Christ. We read earlier that in that passage of chapter 22, we read that Isaac was carrying the wood on his shoulders, going to the place of sacrifice. So they both were unequal in many ways. When you see that, it reminds us of the Savior. And we also know that Isaac was a very obedient son. He obeyed his father even to almost to the death point. until, as our brother reminded, until the father lifted up his knife, Isaac did not resist. He was obedient. And we read that same thing in John chapter 8, verse 29, that his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, was obedient to his father, even unto death. Now here in Isaac's case, we read, God provided a lamb. We read in John 1:29 and Revelation 13:18, the Lord Jesus Christ is the true Lamb of God. John the Baptist looked at him and said, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." So God provided a lamb there at the sacrifice at the time of Isaac. Now we'll go on to the next item. Isaac was offered as a sacrifice. The offering was done, although he was not killed. There was a lamb that replaced him, which definitely represents our Savior, who was the ultimate Lamb of God. So although he was not really killed, in the heart of Abraham and in the heart of God, Abraham already offered his son as an Isaac, offering. But the same is the situation when we come to our Lord Jesus Christ, Isaiah 53:5 and Ephesians 5:2. He was offered as a sacrifice on our behalf. Now here, Abraham was ready to kill. And in Isaiah 53:10, the father was ready to offer his son. But here in the case of angel stopped Isaac. But when you come to the Lord Jesus Christ, no voice from heaven. When the Lord Jesus cried unto the Father, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Absolute silence from heaven. But in the case of Isaac, even without Abraham crying out, angel came and stopped him. And there again, in that sacrifice place, we see an animal was killed instead. A substitute was given on behalf of Isaac. But when we come to the Lord Jesus Christ, again, as we see, the God did not offer another substitute for Christ. He was himself a substitute for all of us, but no other substitute was offered on his behalf. So there are many similarities in both these. Now we also see, as our brother reminded earlier, Isaac obtained a bride. For a short period, as we were reminded today, Isaac disappears and he comes back to the scene again when the bride appears. And we read that in Revelation 19:7, the Lord Jesus Christ is waiting for the bride to come and to receive his bride unto himself. Now Isaac, we read, he loved his wife or his bride. And Ephesians 5:25, we read very similar statement there, that the Lord Jesus Christ, as the bridegroom, we read that just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. Just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for the church. So the love between Isaac and his bride and the Lord Jesus Christ and his bride is very similar, the depth of love for his bride. Now, Isaac was, because he was the only son of Abraham, he was the heir of all. Isaac was blessed with everything and his descendants. When we come to Hebrews chapter 1, verse 2, we read that whom he has appointed, this is talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds. So the heir of all things was given to the Lord Jesus Christ, as the writer of Hebrews says. So these are some comparative studies that we can look at the characteristics of these two, Isaac and the Lord Jesus Christ. Not many other people in the Old Testament come as close as this, as Isaac in comparison to the Lord Jesus Christ in many ways. Now, we saw earlier that we learned that Adam and Eve are a picture of Christ and the church. So are Isaac and Rebecca in their life as we go through. So now we keep going for the next few minutes. We come to Jacob. Jacob, the Lord said, "You are my servant, Israel, and I will be glorified in you." Isaiah 49:3. No one glorified the Father as much as the Lord Jesus Christ did. In several passages in Luke 7:16, 18:43, John 13:31, and 17:4, we read that the Lord Jesus Christ glorified the Father. We read John 17:4 this morning. Father, as I glorified you in them. So he is the person who really glorified the Lord in heaven. But the Jacob was told in Isaiah that you are my servant and I will be glorified in you, meaning looking at the descendant of Jacob coming, who is the Lord Jesus Christ himself, that he will glorify in him, and which was fulfilled in our Savior. So we can, somewhat we can think of Jacob or Israel as a picture of Christ. God called Israel and Christ out of Egypt. Both of them went down to Egypt. God called both of them out of Egypt. We read that in Hosea as well as in Matthew 2:15. We know the story very well. So I'm not taking much time to consider this. So Jacob as a whole, as a person, in many promises and the words of the promises given to him to glorify Lord in him was fulfilled in our Lord Jesus Christ. And they were both called out of Egypt, as we see. Now, going down to to Benjamin, he was first named Benoni by his mother, which means son of my sorrow. Jacob changed the boy's name to Benjamin, meaning son of my right hand. We read that in Genesis 35:18. You can see here a beautiful picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. He first came to this world and he was a man of sorrows, just like the name Benoni, a son of sorrows. In Isaiah 53:3, that we read about the Lord, a man of sorrows. He gave him a great glory and seated him at his own right hand. The right hand is a picture of power in Exodus 15 and the place of honor in 1 Kings chapter 2. The Lord Jesus is the true Benjamin, God's son at the right hand. So the names of Benjamin, both Benoni and Benjamin, the son of my sorrow and son of my right hand, is truly fulfilled in our Lord Jesus Christ. So when we read about Benjamin, really, truly it should take our thoughts into a future and look at our Savior, who has been a man of sorrows and also a son of my right hand. Our Savior is seated on the right hand of God today. As we worshiped, as we listened to God's word, as we study these passages, as we go out to the world this afternoon and this week, just remember, our Savior is on the right hand of God, victoriously seated as a high priest, interceding for us. He is God's son at the right hand. We have a few more minutes. We'll look at maybe one more person, Joseph. There are some comparisons about Joseph also after Isaac, but not quite as much as Isaac himself. Joseph also is a wonderful picture of Christ. His father loved him. We saw that in the case of Isaac. Joseph was so loved by his father, and we read that he did everything for his son. We also read Joseph was refused and denied by his brothers. We see that's what happened our Lord Jesus Christ. All those who followed him, they left him and they denied him, even some of his own brothers. Then Joseph was sold him for silver. And we know what happened when the Lord Jesus was sold for 30 pieces of silver when before his crucifixion. Joseph became a servant in the kingdom. Our Lord in Philippians 2:9, he humbled himself as a servant, and he is the true servant, a true picture of a servant who served, who was faithful, just as Joseph was faithful in the house. Resisted temptation. We know that the devil tried to tempt our Savior. He was 100% victorious, just as Joseph was. There was not many men like Joseph who resisted temptation in the Old Testament. He resisted temptation just as our Savior resisted temptation by the devil. Joseph was falsely accused for wrongdoings. We know that very well. Our Savior was falsely accused by everybody that was around him. Joseph became a prisoner at the end. We read that the Lord Jesus Christ went down into the prison and he came out in John chapter 17, verse 5. We read that Joseph, he provided bread for the world. He was feeding the world who was hungry. And our Savior, he said, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will not thirst, will not go hungry." So he provided bread for the world. So did our Lord. And he provides not only physical bread, the spiritual bread that is necessary for our walk with the Lord today, for you and for me. And here is another one. He forgave his brothers. Joseph forgave his brothers. Lord Jesus Christ, if you want to see the fullness of forgiveness, we have to come to our Savior who forgave all our sins, as we were even reminded this morning. So these are some of the people and the pictures that we come across as we read through the scriptures, that we know that reminds us about our Savior, who came as a promise, fulfillment of the promise, but also stood as a picture in the Old Testament in many passages. These are just a few that we looked at, but I hope this will open our eyes and our understanding as we read through the Old Testament. See whether you can find things that will remind you of our Savior, either a promise or a picture that you can think of him and really fall at his feet and worship. This morning, we were privileged to do that this morning, to remember our Savior, one who came according to the promise, according to the time, as it is prophesied in the Old Testament. He fulfilled everything and he came to this world to save us. Now, there is another study. Sometimes in the future, we can look what are the prophecies that was fulfilled in the Lord Jesus Christ. There is a long list of prophecies from the Old Testament that was fulfilled in the life of our Savior. Hope this study will help you, as it helped me in many ways as I was preparing for it. We will continue, Lord willing, not next Sunday. Next Sunday, we will not have Sunday school because we will have the fellowship lunch after the ministry, and the following Sunday, Lord willing, we'll pick it up again and continue our study. Let's close in prayer. Our Father, we thank you this morning. We come to you giving you thanks for such a Savior who came not as a surprise, who has been mentioned and promised and given in the Old Testament to fulfill for that which has been said already about him. We thank you, Lord, such a revelation that you have given to us in the New Testament time. People who are living in the 21st century, we can look back and see and rejoice in the goodness of God, God's eternal wisdom and power that was revealed throughout the scripture, and finally in the life of our Savior. We give you thanks for him. Bless our study as well as our time together, and the rest of the day as well as rest of the week until we meet again. Keep us all faithful to you. giving you thanks in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.